Our gospel reading comes from the book of John, beginning with chapter 3, verse 1, and it reads, "Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God.' Jesus answered him, 'Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can anyone be born after growing old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The winds blow where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can these things be?' Jesus answered him, 'Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him.'" The Gospel of the Lord. I come to you today with a sermon that asks the question, "Why me, Lord?" Pray with me, if you will. Loving God, again we ask for your inspiration upon this word. Touch it, enlighten it, let it inspire and guide us as we go forward to serve you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Curiosity question. By a show of hands, how many of us in this room, right here, right now, has ever uttered the words, "Why me, Lord?" Let me see some hands. Me too. Especially today, walking or hobbling around, "Why me, Lord?" And yet, oftentimes when we hear this question asked, it's because we are facing some type of situation or life event that we feel is unfair or something that we do not deserve. But today, I invite you to join me as we take a look at this question in a slightly different way. As we dig into this passage of scripture just a little deeper, I want you to listen to what's really being said. Listening in on this conversation, which has taken place between Jesus and the Pharisee named Nicodemus, Nicodemus is trying to find an answer to that very question that we began this sermon with, which is, "Why me, Lord?" Not because something bad has happened to him, not because he is facing some kind of adverse situation in his life. Rather, Nicodemus was trying to understand a very puzzling question. He was trying to understand why Jesus came into this world. And more personally, why did you enter into my life? What is it about you that keeps drawing me closer to you? And so, after pondering this question in his heart, which must have felt like an eternity, Nicodemus realized that the only way he was going to get answers to these questions is if he were to go to Jesus himself. But unfortunately, being a member of the Pharisees, which was the group that was trying to discredit Jesus, he had to do all of this secretly, quietly. And so the scripture tells us that secretly, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." And it was in that moment that Jesus took the opportunity to guide him into the conversation that he really needed to have. He took him into a conversation about this thing called salvation, addressing the topics that would help him to understand what it means to be able to put yourself in a place where your sins are forgiven and are taken away from you, so that heaven may one day become your eternal home. And the more they engaged each other in conversation, the more questions bubbled up in Nicodemus's head. He came looking for an answer to a specific question and walked away with even more questions than he thought he could ever imagine. Many of us experience this same thing even today when we go to the Bible with a particular question in mind and we walk away with more questions than we do answers. Has anybody ever been through that? I know I do. And as this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus came to a close, Nicodemus found the answer to what he was looking for. Because he then turned around and he challenged Jesus by asking, "Why are you doing this for me? Why are you willing to be villainized, ostracized, demonized at the hands of those you've come to help? And yet, you still came." To which Jesus replied, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life and not perish." We love people of God. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world may have an opportunity to enter into the relationship that God desired us to have with him from the time that he created humanity. And he did his best to make this happen, not just at this one time, but God began this process of trying to fix this broken relationship ever since humanity walked the earth. Turning our attentions back to our Old Testament reading just a few moments ago, here we find Isaiah, a person who, by his own admission, was not the best candidate to enter into the employment of God as a prophet. And yet, the Lord saw something in him and called him forward. And like many of us, Isaiah did what we would do, and that is he made all the excuses in the world, admitting his faults, admitting his shortcomings, admitting all the reasons why God should leave me alone and go find somebody else who's better suited, better qualified for this job. But God loved him so much that he decided that I am not going to turn my back on you. And so what he did was he just took him down the path to clean up his act and to begin the process of moving his life in the direction that God needed him to go. Yes, God could have just as easily said, well, you know what? You're a throwaway. I don't need you anymore because you're not living right. Let me find a better person, if there is such a thing, to do what I want them to do. But yet, God loved him as an individual so much that he decided to hang in there. And the question was, why? Why him? Why me, Lord? And the answer is simply because God loved him. Beloved people of God, that same love that we read about in the Old Testament that caused God not to give up on Isaiah, that same love that encouraged Jesus to stand there and to have this in-depth conversation with one who would condemn him, Nicodemus, is the same love that we're experiencing even this very day. As we look at our own individual lives, some of us may also ask that same question. Why me, Lord? Why have you done all of this for me? I've lived a life that was less than perfect. I've broken and continue to break most, if not all, of your commandments. I have used my tongue for gossip and spreading lies and malice as opposed to praising you. And I've even gone as far as rejecting those who needed to experience your love and your presence through me. Instead, I just chose to judge them because I didn't want to be bothered with them. And yet, you look beyond all of my faults, my shortcomings, my sins, and you answered the question the same way. When I asked, why me, Lord? Why did you pick me above all the good people that are in this world? The answer is, because I love you. Beloved people of God, today is a day that reminds us that no matter how hard we may be on ourselves, God still loves you. What I'd like you to do is just to turn to somebody near you and look them in the eye. Come on, let's do it. Look at everybody else. Don't look at me. And repeat after me. Did you know that God loved you? And guess what? He loves me too. Now turn to somebody else and say the same thing. Did you know that God loves you? And guess what? God loves me too. Amen. And so now that we know, now that you know, that you are personally loved by God, this little reminder just simply helps us to feel that love. Because you can't look somebody in the eye and tell them God loves you without smiling. Amen. Now comes the challenge. Knowing that God loves each and every one of us unconditionally, in spite of who we are, in spite of what we've done in our lives, we are now faced with another challenge. Because knowing that you have this special relationship with God, you can't enter into a relationship and not be changed in some way, shape, or form. And so, knowing that you are loved by God, what will you do with that information? How will this change the way that you live your life in relation to yourselves, in relation to others, in relation to those who you meet on the street? If God can love each and every one of us through the many mistakes that we've made during our lifetime, I believe that it should be an easy task for us to love each other for the little minor things that we do. And so I leave you with this challenge, starting here, starting now. If by chance there's somebody in your family or somebody on your job or somebody in your senior center or gathering place, club, or yes, if by chance they're even in this church, I challenge you to go and to work on repairing that strained relationship. Why? Because it's one of those things that love convicts us to do. And so here's how we do it. Step one, before you go to that person, go to God in prayer. Spend a few moments asking God, what's the best way to approach this situation so I can make things right between you and me? Step two, be still for just a little while. And allow God to speak to you, to speak to your heart. Sometimes we pray and get up and run and we don't give God a chance to get a word in edgewise. Step three, whatever God tells you to do, go do it. And then the last step, step four, go back to God after you've done that. And just simply give God thanks for whatever the outcome may be. We may go back and try to mend some broken relationships. Some of them will be wonderful and we can start afresh and new. There are other relationships that the other person may not want to rekindle, and that's okay too. We just simply thank God for giving us the energy and the ability and a desire to try to make things right. And then it's on that person to bring it back around. Beloved people of God, if we can manage to do that, what you'll be starting is a chain reaction of love that has the potential to spread to the ends of the earth. And the bonus in all of this is that you will personally experience the joy in knowing that you did your part in making this happen. And so, beloved people of God, I challenge you to go out today and to begin to spread that love that God showed you first. Question for you all, are you up to it? Let me see here, yes or no? You say yes? Who says yes? Raise your hand. Okay, if you said yes, you got a hard challenge ahead of you because they may not like you, but you know what? You got God on your side and that's all that matters. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us in spite of ourselves, loving us above and beyond all that you do. And we are so grateful for that. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.